This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From the roads to the rails to the skies, Chicago is the transportation hub of America. But does the region still have the infrastructure to allow 9.5 million people in the metropolitan area to get from point A to point B? I'm WBBM Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart. We talk about local mobility with DePaul University Public Service Professor Joe Sweeterman on this week's edition of At Issue. Joe Sweeterman, Professor of Public Services and Director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Very nice to have you in studio where we can talk about a topic that probably touches more people at more points in their lives. Everybody needs to get around. Everybody uses transportation. You get up in the morning, you drive to work or school, you drive on roads that are the result of public policy. Maybe you take the train to work. Maybe you fly on vacation. And there are millions of decisions that govern the way you get around every day. And even though transportation may not be the most sexiest political topic, it is the most important because we use it all the time.
Exactly right. And of course, we're in a city that's, you know, arguably the world's premier transportation center. So it's a fascinating thing to watch. And we Chicagoans often forget that as we get in our daily grind that so much is happening. Air, bus, and rail, it's a fun time.
Well, let's begin with the air, especially at O'Hare, which for most of my life was the world's busiest airport. But now that honor more often than not goes to Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta. And having O'Hare remain a vital link in the nation's and the world's air network, it's more than just a point of civic pride. It is a major economic engine for the region.
Yeah, I always joke for a proper name, you say the word O'Hare, and just about anybody in the country or any frequent flyer instantly knows what you're talking about. And there are very few single words that convey a place. Maybe Heathrow would come close.
LaGuardia, that's another
LaGuardia,
one.
LaGuardia, that's a little smaller, but yes, indeed. But yeah, I mean, we still have the claim of the most gates of any airport in the world. And we think we're soon to pass Hartsfield on the number of flights. So by some measures, you know, we're still the biggest. But they have a good lead on us on passenger counts. We're catching up, though. It's been one heck of a year with both United American moving ahead with expansion. And boy, that terminal project, the things are heating up.
And United and American, they have been taking each other to court over gate access at O'Hare. So it just goes to show you that O'Hare is still a very important city for United and American, above and beyond the fact that this is a hub for both airlines.
Oh, exactly right. Post-pandemic, you know, things were, you say, a little quiet out there. We didn't have the same bounce back as the Sun Belt, and that hurt our feelings, you might say, because, you know, we are a global hub for two big airlines at O'Hare, United and American. And they were kind of playing it a little slow on O'Hare. United put big lift into Denver. American Dallas is their kingpin hub, But boy, in the last year, they both have identified O'Hare as a real priority. So we're seeing a bounce back, United in particular. And not only are they adding flights, but they're what we call upgauging. They're getting rid of some of the smaller regional jets, which has kind of been O'Hare's nemesis, you might say. A lot of flights, but a lot of small planes. And they're bringing some bigger planes. So we're seeing those record passenger numbers at O'Hare. We just saw that last few weeks. And hence the battle for gates is something that's a good problem for the city to have. They're both jealously watching their facilities.
Now, in a previous life, you worked in operations for United Airlines. So you know a thing or two about getting airplanes through airports and people through airports. And with this bounce back at O'Hare, it's very good timing for this terminal expansion projects, the brand new Terminal 2. I mean, Terminal 1, the Helmut Jahn Terminal of tomorrow, exclusive domain of United. Terminal 3 is American. And Terminal 2, for the longest time, used to be everyone else. And now that is an opportunity to get some bigger players onto the scene.
Oh, exactly right. And just to kind of bring people up to speed, much of our growth has been accommodated in the last 10 years with Terminal 5, which is the international terminal. So the city's had a big expansion there, both east and west sides there, that have accommodated lots of the other airlines. So Delta's out there now, Southwest made a big play at O'Hare. They've slowed down and moved some of those flights back to Midway. But that's given us some breathing room as we, you know, digest these big runway improvements we had. But now, you know, it's time to revisit the other terminals. And you're right. I was at United when Terminal 5 opened, and this was the be-all, end-all terminal. Beautiful Helmut Jahn atriums and so forth with the B concourse, C concourse, with the, you know, moving walkway underneath. Now that's feeling a little bit tired, you might say. It's still a great terminal, but the bar has lifted. So Terminal 2 is really going to be something special. Timeline is really critical. This doesn't get delayed.
But also, I think it just goes to show you that the way in which the traveling public uses the airline industry has changed drastically since 1993, when the international terminal opened, or the late 80s when the Terminal 1 opened, when even back then, air travel was the almost exclusive domain of the business traveler, the road warrior. The office would give you the travel voucher, and then you would go off to wherever you had to, wherever your business meeting was being conducted, or your conference. And that if you know, the average person generally drove from point A to point B. If you were flying on vacation, that was kind of a special occasion. But now in 2025, leisure is a huge driver of traffic alongside those road warriors. And O'Hare has to accommodate both categories of traveler, and the big airlines have to accommodate both categories of traveler.
Yeah, yeah. You're bringing back a lot of memories, because my first job at United were in pricing. And we, you know, we watched this. And back then, if you saw a fare of $159, this is back in the mid-80s, that was like the bargain of the century. Now, those are commonplace. So air travel, almost every year, the average fare has come down. But even equally important, the restrictions you had back then, Saturday night minimum stay, 21-day advance purchase, limited number of seats per flight. Airlines are now aggressively courting those super discounted fares. So you have basic economy of airlines like Spirit that offer cheap walk-up fares. So the game has changed, where people are consuming air travel much more aggressively. And, you know, business travel post-pandemic hasn't quite come back. So airlines are really designed now, bigger planes, more service to the Sun Belt, and the volumes are really impressive for the airlines. So Wall Street's pretty happy with the bottom line right now, and international, I think, is going to be a big thing for O'Hare looking forward.
Now let's kind of zoom out a little bit, because we talk about these all of the carriers are now trying to chase the bargain basement fare that used to be the exclusive domain of Southwest. You know, that it was the no frills airline. It just got you from here to there. It was open seating in the cabin. There were no baggage fees. And then other airlines like a Spirit that entered that market as well. But and it made air travel more accessible to the average person. And it made air travel more of a middle class pursuit. And so every trip that goes via airplane out of O'Hare and Midway is a trip that does not take place on I-94 or I-55 or I-57, and it's not a trip that you take on Amtrak. So when you look at lower cost airlines as part of the region's transportation mix, when one person goes one way, how does it affect the other two modes of travel?
You know, it's a really great point. I think one of the reasons Chicago has fared really well in corporate headquarters and young people wanting to be in the big city is not only the amenities of city life and the excitement, but people are on the go. And having an airport with nonstop service, you know, to almost every major U.S. airport and, of course, international, is just seen as a prerequisite now for a good place to live. So it's fueled our growth. And, you know, I was, you know, many years ago when Southwest first came to Midway, we're all scratching our head thinking, this is a big risk. Not good for United American, but that's really worked out well for Southwest. It's one of the three largest hubs. If you walk around Midway, you won't see hardly anything else except those Southwest tails, a couple Delta flights and international flights. So it's a remarkable thing to have in a city with three big hubs all right here and all airlines that want to expand. And so Midway is splitting from the seams. They have enough runway space for now, but they can't handle wide bodies. That pushes international flights to O'Hare. So the bond market's quite happy with us right now because of the growth.
Well, this is the 40th anniversary of Southwest entering the Chicago market. They came in 1985. And back then, the airline, speaking of a fallen flag that's no longer with us, but actually revived Midway Airport, was the late, great Midway Airlines. And I think for Southsiders, and I am a native of the Beverly neighborhood, for Southsiders, Midway Airport was almost like the White Sox. It's like we have our airport, we have our baseball team, and by gum, we have Midway Airlines too. And that's how you would get to L.A. or New York or Disney World. And so Midway was kind of proof of concept that you could create a post-deregulation airline and revive the airport at the same time.
Well, it is interesting. And Midway was once the busiest airport in the world, was called the busiest square mile in aviation. You could argue it has that title again. It's like one square mile. But woe to the person that ever mentions expanding a runway there. It's just not possible with the neighborhood dynamics. It's politically out of the question. So the Midway is kind of fixed in what we see today is what it's going to stay. And, hence O'Hare is seen as is the big frontier for 50% growth we want to see in air travel. And with the O'Hare modernization, the terminal O'Hare 21 plan, you know, we need a terminal that can speak to our greatness in travel, bring those international domestic flights all in one point. So a lot of eyes are on getting Terminal 2, the Global Gateway Terminal, done on time. And the city's pretty bullish right now.
We're talking about the Chicago area's mobility needs with Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. This is At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart. Thank you for joining us today. And talking about the importance of Midway Airport in just serving the transportation public in Chicago, having Southwest at Midway with such a large piece of the domestic travel puzzle flying out of Midway as opposed to O'Hare. How does that make life easier for O'Hare?
Oh, I can speak from experience there because I was in United pricing a long time ago, but you really had to watch Southwest discounted one-way fares. And you could charge a premium, but you can't charge $200 more one way when you've got this low-cost competitor across town with, you know, a great reputation for being on time and with of conveniences of easy boarding back then. And so it does keep the big three, the two big airlines that are here, really honest from a price standpoint that they compete for the same market. But it's also bought us time to grow O'Hare at a more patient schedule, you might say. It's so expensive to grow that airport. We've had an ace up our sleeve that Midway could handle some of the load while this congestion just gets worse and worse. But now we're at a point where, our back's against the wall and O'Hare 21 plan, starting on that big terminal in 2028, is going to be a big moment for our city.
Now, if you fly into O'Hare and Midway and you want to get downtown, the easiest way to do that is the CTA. However, there are some real question marks about what level of CTA service you will enjoy once you fly into Chicago in the not too distant future, because as far as the CTA is concerned, the fiscal cliff has been kicked down the road by a couple of months, but the funding issues do remain in place. And it just seems, it seems like there will be a fix eventually, somehow, some way, but the lofty goals for maybe governance reform or changing the way in which the three main modes of public transportation are governed at the state level.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Well, that opportunity could come and go.
Exactly right. And we're all eyes are going to be on Springfield in October when the so-called veto session meets, because transit is at a cliff. And a lot of the dreams our city has, you mentioned better service to O'Hare. There's exciting opportunities there on one of the metro lines, or getting the blue line back without slow zones to improve that. All that hinges on fixing our transit puzzle. And we didn't do so well in the last legislative session. It sort of got kicked down the road. And I think what TransAsia are trying to make as a case is going to be a different day. You provide this funding, could be from a delivery tax, could be from different kinds of smaller taxes. But we know there needs to be a funding package to avoid, you know, so-called doomsday cuts. And right now, there's not a clear roadmap for that, but the agencies we're seeing some real signs that they're working together like we haven't seen before. And I think the best example is Metra and PACE supporting the CTA with some of a funding reallocation so the CTA doesn't have to hit its doomsday before the other services do. That's a maybe symbolic gesture, but it shows that they know Springfield needs some convincing, and just new wallpaper is not going to get the job done.
When we talk about if a middle-class family takes a Southwest flight or a Spirit flight somewhere, that is a trip that does not take place on the highway, nor is it a trip that takes place on the train. If the service cuts do happen and there is a drastic reduction in CTA elevated service and a drastic reduction in Metra service, the people who relied on that service, they have to go elsewhere. And the 1,000 or so people who ride a Union Pacific Northwest Line train to and from the Northwest suburbs, if that train is not there, they're on the Kennedy. That's 1,000 more cars on the Kennedy Expressway at that particular time. And you know, I know this from personal experience. Every now and then I'm called upon to be on Channel 11 and driving from Prudential Plaza to their studios on Foster Avenue. You can walk faster than you can drive on on a Friday afternoon. And can you just imagine what traffic would be like with all of those bus passengers and elevated passengers forced to drive or Uber because their train or bus is not there?
Well, exactly right. You look at our city, and it's unfortunate that so much of the development is happening in crowded neighborhoods. You look at while the loop congestion is down because of the work from home. You go north of the river to River North or the Gold Coast and further north, Lincoln Park. I mean, traffic is really tough in those neighborhoods now. Lots of new development projects happening. And without you add 10, 15% to the road volumes, and you not only cause more congestion, but you really impact sort of the lifestyles that our city depends upon, those car-free households, people that go car light because they use transit. And, of course, keeping Chicago as a sort of global destination entertainment center. So it all kind of works together. And I think, you know, as much as we complain about CTA, Metro, and Pace, they've been under some pretty decent leadership. I think the problem is that there's been still a bit of a silo effect between the three. And, you know, we need to plan this future with much more integration. And I think we're catching up, which is exciting. But, you know, you still need different ticketing systems to ride Metro and CTA and so forth. That's probably going to change because I think the public's demanding it.
Well, it also seems that as much as we'd like to think that COVID is the distant past, it did take a long time to get a lot of stuff back up and running after it had been shut down for a while. And a lot of the complaints about public transit in the Chicago area are directed at the CTA, and they have varying degrees of merit. But the one problem that they had, and it probably took them a very long time to address that, was staffing up again. Because if there was a drastic reduction in service and people chose to do other things during the COVID pandemic, you had to bring people back. And if you couldn't bring people back, you had to find them. And it takes years to staff up after a reduction in force.
Yeah, and it really was unfortunate, those years. You might call them 2021 to 2023 or so, chronic bus driver shortages, rail motorman shortages. So we had ghost buses. The CTA took it on the chin for not delivering the advertised schedule. And a lot of people came a little disillusioned with travel. We had, of course, more unwelcome behaviors on board. That's still a problem. So transit we're seeing is clawing its way back. I mean, the numbers look better all the time, particularly on buses and on CTA rail and Pace. Metro is growing as well. But, you know, the momentum will be instantly stopped if that hourly service the suburbs have or the 7-minute service on the Red Line gets cut to 12 or 13. And boy, early 2026 is going to be a stressful time if this doesn't get fixed.
And also, it's an interesting time in transit in the way in which people use transit, because Metra and the CTA, to a certain extent, still operate along what I like to call a post-World War II way of life, which is you have your home is in a neighborhood in Chicago or it's in a suburb. You have the 2.3 kids, you have the picket fence, and then you drive to the train. You get on the train at 9 o'clock in the morning. You come downtown.
Right.
You work. You leave, you go home. And now people are using public transportation in different ways. You use it to go downtown for events on the weekends. You use it maybe to go to a 2-hour in-person meeting and go home. And that the transit rides are now taking place outside of the traditional rush hours as we knew them.
Oh, exactly right. You could feel it downtown when there's a big concert or the Bears play. I mean, just the energy you feel from transit. And that midday service is just so much more important than it used to be. I'm exactly like that. I was a 9-to-5 guy for a couple decades, and now I'm downtown every day, but that schedule's really variable. I may come down in the late morning. And so Metro's tried that, and it's with good success on some of the UP lines, the North and Northwest lines. We have half-hourly service to Evanston parts of the day, new service on the granddaddy of them all, the BNSF line out to Aurora. They've got better midday service. And the public's really reacting to that. We don't need 5 express trains between 7:15 and 7:45 in the morning. We need to spread those out throughout the day. And that's been one of the more exciting innovations that our region has seen. We just have to do more with express bus, though. I mean, our region, I claim, is in last place on some of the express buses. You would think Magnificent Mile to O'Hare, or some of the job centers in the suburbs to the Gold Coast, where lots of employment patterns occur and people end up with multi-seat transit rides. And we just got to get out there and try some new things.
We're talking about transportation in the Chicago area with Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. This is At Issue on WBBM News Radio. You bring up a very good point about bus transit, because I'm sure if you spend more than 5 minutes on social media, you see pictures of the transportation infrastructure that exists in other countries. How come we can't have the super train from France, or the Chinese super train, or the maglev, or streetcars everywhere? And the obvious answer is because the money doesn't exist. I mean, if you want to pay for the super train, we'll build the super train for you, but people don't want to pay for it. But you express buses, though, are an interesting kind of middle ground. If you don't want to build the light rail system, you don't want to build the streetcar, you can build a dedicated lane for buses. We have those in downtown Chicago. We have them in the suburbs along Milwaukee Avenue and on Dempster, and they exist on the shoulders of some of the expressways. And how does that work in Chicago, and how would that change the game, potentially change the equation of local transportation if it was expanded at scale?
You know, that's a great point, because it's deeply tied up in, and you might say, politics, in that there's a sense that our service boards, Metro, Pace, and CTA, shouldn't compete with each other. So we shouldn't have Pace buses competing with Metro. But you look at New York, and you can go to Manhattan. You want to go to New Jersey, you can take the New Jersey Transit bus, or you can take a train, or you can take a private commuter bus. There's all kind of overlap in those systems. They don't necessarily serve the exact same points, but they're all in the mix. And in our region, we don't really do that. We don't have an express bus network from downtown, except on a few routes where there is no Metro service, such as out to Plainfield. And it's kind of a sense that we're going to play nice with each other and not compete. So we have lots of people coming in on, say, the Northwest Tollway on a bus, and they're dropped off at the Rosemont Transit Center, which is, you know, a nice station. But you cut some time off of those buses, just stayed on the highway and came downtown. And I think as we try to rethink our system and break down some of the silos, I think there's a lot we could do to stretch the budget by leveraging those buses. And the last thing I'll say here is that you look at our expressways, and we're lacking dedicated bus lanes on, you know, the busiest freeways. So we're rebuilding the Kennedy. Bus lanes are not part of the mix. There's lots of engineering reasons that's hard. Tri-State Tollway, same thing. But you can envision a world where we make room for express buses to really drive some of that traffic back to transit.
The idea of being exotic modes of transportation, you know, the high-speed rail, which, you know, the Amtrak has just rolled out the new generation of Acela trains, you know, on the East Coast, and they can go to 160 miles an hour, which is good. But above and beyond the high-speed nature of it, the thing that makes Amtrak really attractive on the East Coast in New York or Washington is that it leaves on an hourly or half-hourly basis. In the Chicago area, if you wanted to take a train to Detroit or Milwaukee or St. Louis or the Twin Cities, you know, people would love the idea of there being a bullet train to Minneapolis. But at the same time, you'd be better served just having an hourly train as opposed to one that goes 200 miles an hour.
No, exactly right. And we just did an analysis showing that traffic on Amtrak trains in Chicago is really growing fast. In fact, they're running out of seats. So trains are going out full on Saturday, heading out to St. Louis and Detroit. Two great metro areas, Chicago and Detroit, have exactly three trains connecting them, you know, which is pretty skeletal for a market like that. So there's so much, there's actually really good post-pandemic demand for Amtrak travel. It hasn't followed the same trajectory as rail transit. It's almost like airlines. People are traveling more, and we're seeing ridership records. Amtrak hit a record last year. And that's we have some momentum to build on, but we just have to get more service out there. And, you know, Chicago Hub is a gem that people often don't realize, that we are we got a pretty dynamic system. It just needs some more service.
In general, when you look at the Chicago area, the Chicago metropolitan area, and you look at commuter rail, rapid transit, buses, airlines, and the highways and even surface streets. Do you believe the infrastructure that we have right now, can it serve the population? Can it support the population of the Chicago area as it exists today?
Great question. I tell my students, I say, what's the plan for the Kennedy Expressway the next 10 years with traffic growing, people driving more? And they're all convinced they're going to double deck it or add four lanes. And good or bad, there is no real plan once this current construction is done to expand capacity. So unfortunately, that's just probably going to get worse down the line. And congestion pricing could be one option, bus lanes to sort of utilize those lanes more effectively. So we all know that we're not going to get a lot more expressway mileage. Now, we do have a couple of highways that are going to open soon. One is 490, which is going to loop around the western side of O'Hare's, you know, the O'Hare-Western bypass. And that's going to release some congestion on the Tri-State Tollway 294. We also have the big Kennedy project, which is going to be done by Thanksgiving. We're very patient motorists who've lived through a couple years of it, but things will get...
Knock on wood. We don't have any wood in here.
Things will get better. A lot of bridges are getting improved. But there aren't large-scale capacity expansion projects. So we think, me and other folks who watch this, not aggressive congestion pricing to make it punitive to drive, but to change people's behavior to try to carpool or to shift those trips to off-peak just so we use our highway system better. And we don't, in my view, downtown congestion pricing isn't what we need because people are, it's not as crowded down in the loop. But on those expressways, it can be pretty torturous, and we need to do something.
Joe Sweeterman, DePaul University Public Service Professor, thank you for joining us this week on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and now the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it.
We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.